This is troubling to me. It's troubling.
Buccaneers fans, it is that time. Episode 2 on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Huge week of Buccaneers football. Happy Thanksgiving to every single one of our listeners here. The podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, and it stars the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. The Sage is fired up. He's got food awaiting him. What's on tap? What's on your mind?
You know what, guys? I'm thankful. I'm thankful on this holiday week that I'm writing about and talking about a relevant football franchise. Say what you will, Buck fans, you might be a little upset about 7-4. You might be a little worried about being caught by the Chicago Bears, the reeling Chicago Bears. Put that out of your mind. This is a relevant football team. It's going to be a playoff football team. And with very few exceptions, since Chucky walked out that door in the winter of 2009, this team has got some clout. This team's got some juice. As a matter of fact, I claim that since mid-March, it's the most talked about team in the NFL. I don't even think there's an argument. I can't imagine who's number two, but there's a gap and a big one between the Bucs and anybody else. And it just feels good knowing that there's all this attention, all this interest. Lee, I understand the trepidations of Buck faithful. They've been through a lot over the years. They don't assume anything about this team, let alone a playoff spot. But the math is the math, Lee. 90% chance of making the playoffs. I think that's right on. I'm not worried about Mitch Trubisky getting hot. I think that's nonsense. And we'll see how the Bucs do in the last five games. I don't think they'll fall apart. They haven't lost two in a row. But we are working around a relevant football team, and that feels good.
Well, you're a thankful guy, Ira, and I am thankful for you. I'm thankful for Lee. I'm thankful for JoeBucksFan.com and all of our readers and listeners. And, of course, you can subscribe to the podcast for a free alert at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, wherever. Leave a review if you feel so inclined. And I'm also thankful, Ira, that Bill Curry Ford is there for the whole Tampa Bay area to buy a F-150 or an F-250 or a used car or whatever it is, a Mustang Roush. Bill Curry Ford, 60 years of Tampa tradition. They are open Black Friday. They are open Saturday, Sunday, every single day. And General Manager Sean Sullivan has all kinds of extraordinary discounts for our readers and listeners like he always does. And he's there for you personally to lend you a helping hand. And anybody who's shopped for a vehicle knows how valuable it is to have a general manager who will talk to you and just give you fair, sound, honest advice whether you buy a vehicle there or not. And a lot of people have questions about leasing, whatever it is. Sean Sullivan, his email is right there on BillCurryFord.com. Or you can just go into the showroom, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, or shop online, BillCurryFord.com. Transparent pricing is there. Their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles is there. And up to $1,000 in an Amazon gift card if you purchase a vehicle this month or a lease one as well. So those details, BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping right away. Ira is a customer. Lee is a customer. I'm a customer, even though I'm driving a Subaru. That's just proof of the fantastic pre-owned at Bill Curry Ford. I know you guys are Ford men, but we love Sean Sullivan, and we're all fired up for the amazing offers he's going to be treating people to all weekend long.
You know, they never run out of initiatives over there. I mean, they got a heck of a marketing program. Sullivan might come up with some of the stuff himself. He's that inventive. And, you know, it's one month after another. There's always some kind of an angle. And when you add it all up, it adds up the savings for the potential customers for Bill Curry Ford. I heartily endorse them. Great vehicles, great service, great showroom. Lee, you're a loyal customer too. And we can't say enough about the whole experience.
You can go in that showroom and demand to speak to Sean Sullivan. He'll come up and talk to you. You guys could be talking bucks for 20 minutes, and you won't even bring it up. He won't even bring up buying a car. He'll go into great detail about why the Bucks need extra pass rush. They need to draft more pass rushers. I completely agree with him, by the way. But there's deals to be had at Bill Curry Ford. If anybody's even remotely interested in a new rig, start at Bill Curry Ford.
Ira, let me run a name by you. It was revealed in the initial Pro Bowl voting, and you know this goes on for weeks, and the NFL occasionally publishes who's leading at certain positions. Well, the Buccaneers who are leading at their positions right now are Devin White and Alex Kappa. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, finally, as Lee would say, finally, finally, somebody in the NFL got smart and decided to either pay somebody or gather a bunch of people or use their agent to stuff the ballot box and jam their name up to the top of the fray with by voting over and over and over and over and over again to get themselves noticed. And it turns out it's got to be Alex Kappa because there's no way he's leading in Pro Bowl voting, but he is. So unless we're going to have lawsuits to check the ballots and run the voting machines, kudos to Alex Kappa for having somebody in his corner, maybe some college buddies or a couple of cousins or something. I'm surprised it hasn't happened before. Levante David, if you wanted to pay me and Lee $20,000, we would have won you the Pro Bowl vote in past years, but you didn't do it.
You know, Lee, Kappa must have one heck of an extended family. I mean, you're talking
that's
about
the first thing I thought.
Stuff in the ballot boxes. And, you know, Lee, let's be serious. I'm not saying Pro Bowl, but the guy's a pretty good player. You know, I'm not saying he belongs representing you. And by the way, there's not going to be a Pro Bowl this year. But you'll get Pro Bowl status, you know, and it goes on your resume, and it helps, you know, in terms of getting
you some... More importantly, Ira, they'll get the Pro Bowl bonus.
That's right. There's money involved. But, you know, Cap is a fine player. Another feather in Jason Light's cap. Might be running out of room with that cap because he's had a good couple of years. But, you know, Pro Bowl, I'm not going there yet, Lee. I think Marpet was on that kind of trajectory. You know, it's very unfortunate about what's going on. I hope he comes back Sunday. But Cap is a guy, Lee, we don't talk about him very much. And in a way, that's high praise for a right guard.
And part of the reason is he's a quiet dude. He's just one of these lunch pail guys. He keeps to himself. If you talk to him, it's like he's a bad interview because, like, oh, shucks, you don't want to talk about me. He's a really good guy, don't get me wrong. But you give him any kind of attention, it's almost like he's like, but he's almost like a Mo Howard, a gentleman. And he looks around, you know, like, you know, no, gentleman, you're talking to him. There's no ego with the guy. Super nice guy. I've had some friends of mine, acquaintances of mine, that have crossed paths with him out in public, whether it's an MMA event or a bar or whatever. And they all tell, wow, what a nice guy he is. He's a super nice guy. Said, yeah, that's Kappa. He's a really good guy, kind of quiet. And
absolutely.
I know, when I read that about Kappa, you know, isn't it time that people get off the narrative that the Bucks offensive line is a piece of trash? And Steve and I, the last couple of years, have always thought they were okay. And, you know, Steve and I, we thought there was something wrong. We'd write about it. We thought they were okay. But with Marpet, everybody thought Marpet was going to get a Pro Bowl this year. He's doing so well. Jensen's playing out of his mind. He's playing very well. Tristan Wirfs, if anybody's going to get a Pro Bowl, I would think it'd be Tristan Wirfs. And, yeah, I get it. Donovan Smith. I know he's inconsistent. When he's good, he's very good. When he's bad, he's atrocious. But I think, can we just get off this notion that there's like five sieves on the front line of the Bucks?
Lee, this is the first time I'm ever going to agree with you about the Buck offensive line. I think they've improved considerably. I give Wirfs a lot of the credit.
Really?
But I think they've improved markedly. The run blocking better. I mean, Ronald Jones came into Monday night's game averaging 5.1 yards a carry. I thought the pass protection, Steve, overall, was very good against the Rams. And one more point I want to make about Kappa. The Bucs had 67 snaps against a very good Rams defense. 67. So I don't think it's a stretch to think that Alex Kappa tangled with Aaron Donald on more than a few of those 67 snaps and he held his own, if not even better than that. And Steve, as you astutely pointed out, and I didn't even know this, I mentioned Donald didn't make the stat sheet. You said that's the first time in his glittering career that's ever happened. I got to throw some kudos at Kappa. He was a big part of that.
They all get credit, and Kappa probably, you know, he's not a great player, but he's good. He's definitely solid. He's definitely improved. And he's doing a lot with his talent level. So, great pick. I'm all for riding the Kappa train to the Pro Bowl. It's too much fun. I can't wait to get behind it, behind the story behind it. And, you know, we'll monitor that, Ira. But I need to note this. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That is your first stop as soon as you see water or mold where it doesn't belong in your home. You smell mold, you think you have mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately before your insurance company. They will be out there instantly almost to come out and give you a complete estimate as to what's happening in your home. They'll use their thermal imaging cameras to figure out what the mold really is. They are mold remediation specialists. There aren't many in the Tampa Bay area. You want to call them first, and they're going to make sure you don't get ripped off or misdirected by your insurance company, and they're a full and complete disaster company as well. Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
If you have a mold problem, don't wait on it. Call them immediately, because a small problem can develop into a major hassle very quickly.
I was going to wait till later, but you mentioned the offensive line. We went there. A.Q. Shipley, likely career-ending injury, as Coach Arians announced on SiriusXM NFL Radio. It's Donovan Smith. We watched him roll his ankle early in the game against the Rams. He came back. He was out maybe four or five snaps. And he's missed practice, and Arians hinted that. Well, you know, maybe he won't be ready. I mean, that might be a little gamesmanship, but he did say, you know, Smith answers the bell, so we're hopeful. A lot of movement and motion on the offensive line, Ira, which... you know, we got to have a lot of fingers crossed for Sunday.
What a week for this to happen. I mean, you know, they're not playing the Denver Broncos. They're playing the top team in the AFC West, and maybe the top team in the darn league. I think a big key, if the Bucs are going to spring an upset, is, you know, powering a good running game and keeping Mr. Mahomes, you know, frustrated on the sideline. And that's no way to go about it with two or three subs on the offensive line. That'd be a tough blow. Lee, knowing Donovan Smith, and, you know, I've taken my share of shots at him. He is a tough son of a gun. He is.
Yeah.
What he missed, two snaps Monday night. He takes a lot of pride in his durability. If I had to bet on it, I think Donovan Smith lines up against Frank Clark, who's a very good defensive end for the Chiefs. We'll see about Shipley. Shipley's played a couple of outstanding games, Lee. That'd be a blow.
I agree with you about... Donovan Smith. I would lay money he plays. It's really, you know, there's a lot of reasons to get on Donovan Smith. His body language is pathetic. Like I said, he's inconsistent. When he's bad, he is brutal. But when he's good, he's very good. The one thing you can't take away from him, he's a prideful guy in the sense that he really prides himself on never missing a snap. I mean, he's really, really, really got to be hurt for him to miss a game. I think what he's missed, one game in his career?
One game.
And he was kind of bummed out of it, but that's the last time I talked to him, was at that one game. He was walking in the locker room, and you said this a few times, Iron. I don't know if I used the word one time, surly. I don't know if he's surly, but...
He can be testy. Yeah.
He can be testy. That's a perfect word. See, that's why you're a wordsmith, Ira. He can be testy. That's perfect. Anyway, he came in the locker room, and I said this. I didn't know if he was going to jump my case or what. I said, well, Donovan, a new streak starts. And he looked at me and smiled. And I didn't expect that. And, you know, Alex Kapp, I had the world not to go back to him. But when he played against the Saints with a broken arm, that's a whole different level of respect I have for him.
Sage, let's get right to the Chiefs, okay? And before we get there, I want to mention that Big Storm Beer, I was using the word ornery before. You know, if you're a beer drinker and you try Big Storm, you're flat out ornery if you don't drink Big Storm all the time after you try it the first time, because it is that good. You can stock up at the Big Storm tap rooms in Clearwater, Odessa, Cape Coral, and, of course, at smart retailers everywhere. Go to bigstormbrewery.com, and you can punch in your zip code and find out where it's sold near you. All across Florida, it's in several states. It's just amazing beer, and this is the time to do it. At the tap rooms, Ira, they've got all these gift card specials now, so you can buy some gift cards and save them to watch games with the Sage, and then you get some free gifts if you buy, you know, $50, $100. So a lot of really cool stuff at Big Storm, but you want to drink this all through the holidays. It'll change your life. It's changed mine, Ira.
I'm a little partial to the Brumosa right now. Lee's been through that entire craft beer menu, and he can talk with great knowledge about all of them. I've only had, you know, three or four. Tropic Pressure's outstanding. Kolsch. Lee, you go from one to another. There's so much to pick from. That's one of the joys of being at Big Storm.
Yeah, next year, Ira, I think we should do Thanksgiving at Big Storm. Just a big outdoor feast when this virus is behind us. We use the covered 3,000-square-foot open-air outdoor area there and just have a big feast. We invite your brother-in-law over there. Let him have some beer.
Can you imagine Lee behind the counter serving up the creamed onions? I can't even think about it.
I didn't say we would serve the food. I said we'd invite everybody. All right, listen, Ira. Chiefs game Sunday, huge. We know you're a Chiefs fan, lifelong, since 1937. One thing to note, Jamel Dean, concussion. Okay, he missed about 25 snaps the other night. The infamous Ross Cockrell came in and filled in. And Arians expressed confidence in Cockrell, said he's a very smart player. He's the kind of guy who is going to be where he's supposed to be. Really emphasized his intelligence when he was on his radio show this week. And it seems like that's the guy, not Ryan Smith. It's Cockrell, who was a starter last year with Carolina. He's bounced around the league, and then nobody wanted him this offseason, and the Bucs put him on their expanded practice squad. And he was sitting there for a while, and then they activated him two games ago. And he came in and did pretty well the other night. Nobody's walking around town today saying, oh, man, that Ross Cockrell blew the game. That's not what happened. So he comes in. He's 29 years old, and this might be the guy, but I don't have a lot of confidence with him against Patrick Mahomes. He smells like that would be an incredible target for the Chiefs if he's starting for Dean, who did not practice. Cockrell's biggest claim to fame might be he intercepted Jameis Winston last year.
I understand your concerns, Dave. I will say, the way Jamel Dean's been playing the last 3 weeks, it may not be as big a loss as it looks on paper, because I think he's really struggled. You know, watching the Chiefs the last few years in particular, I think the guy that stirs the drink is Kelsey. I think he's the guy that Mahomes looks for when he's in trouble on third downs. He's a brutal matchup. I mean, brutal. He destroyed the Raiders last week. He won the game almost single-handedly. Who the heck's going to cover him? I mean, he's too fast for Levante David. You know, Whitehead can't cover him. And he's too big for Winfield. I mean, that's a problem. Who the heck are you going to put on this guy? He's a fabulous route runner. He finds these open holes and he sits there and he's almost unstoppable, Kelsey. If he's not the best tight end, you want to pick George Kittle, fine. But for me, it's Kelsey. I think he's the guy that's keeping, and I know they got Tyreek Hill and he's outstanding. Kelsey's the guy that's keeping bowls up. By the way, gentlemen, I don't want to get Buck fans too depressed here, but there's nobody on the Chiefs injury report. Zero. Nobody was on the report. Even little Sammy Watkins, who I think is one of the most overhyped players in the NFL, made all kinds of money. The guy's always hurt. Even he's back. So I understand Steve's concern, Lee. But to me, you got to have somebody that can handle Kelsey. There aren't many of those guys around. I don't think the Bucs have one.
That's true. And I want to say something here. As soon as I say it, I'm going to give Bucs fans something pleasant to think about with the Chiefs. Not gloom and doom. Believe it or not, me, not gloom and doom. The guy on the other side of the field from Arians, Andy Reid, I'm starting to think he is so underrated. Now, another guy that was underrated was Joe Gibbs. Now, what he did, you know, three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, and only one of them was worth a crap, I thought. And yeah, Doug Williams is a nice player, but I don't know if he'll be a Hall of Famer. So I was a good quarterback, I thought. Rip, he can give me a break. But he had a nice year. That is super impressive. Within a decade. I mean, it doesn't matter. Michael Vick, Alex Smith, McNabb. Obviously, you got Mahomes. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Andy Reid's got an excellent team. An excellent offense. That guy can coach.
He's going to Canton, Lee. He's going to Canton.
He should. He evolves, too. A lot of coaches, their demise is they don't evolve as the game does. Andy Reid evolves. I mean, he's always on the cutting edge. I mean, think of some of those plays he had in the Super Bowl and the formations, like a Notre Dame thing. That when I say Notre Dame, I'm talking about Rocky, Snoop Rocky kind of Notre Dame formations. And now, here's the good thing I'm going to say for Bucks fans. I was just watching James Jones, NFL Network. James Jones saying, here's how the Bucks are going to win. Mahomes can't hurt you when he doesn't have the ball. He goes, the Bucks have running back. They've got an offensive line. The best thing the Bucs can do is take the ball out of Brady's hands and pound the football. Your thoughts, Ira?
I think that's exactly correct. The Chiefs' run defense is rather ordinary. Ordinary. They are vulnerable. And I'm telling you this right now, guys. If Brady's throwing 49 passes, they ain't got a chance in hell. Arians, I think, is getting a little peeved, I think it's got to be towards Leftwich because he's hacked off about abandoning the run. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he referenced it last week about the New Orleans game, which was a rout, but he still thought they abandoned the run too early in the New Orleans game. And I don't know if I agree with him, but he said it. He did say it.
Well, and... Yeah, exactly. He may say it, but he's the head coach. He's on the headsets. He's got his Waffle House menu in front of him. You mean to tell me he can't tell Byron Leftwich? Byron, go back to running. You're doing fine. Go back to running.
He's not inclined to do it. But I'm saying, Steve, I think you'd agree. They don't get a healthy dose of Ronald Jones on Sunday. Arians is going to have to take over this offense.
Ira, I don't know what to say. I mean... Tom Brady, wasn't he supposed to check to the runs when he sees the right situations and the right formations? He's going to check to the runs and he's going to spot all that stuff. Arians spoke on his radio show this week, Ira, about how the Bucks failed against the six-man boxes, key number six, six-man boxes of the Rams. And he was very disappointed that the linemen and the running backs didn't press the holes very well. And there's a piece of video from Leonard Fournette missing a huge hole. I didn't run it yet on JoeBucksFan.com, but a lot of people are going to bang their heads against the wall. I don't know. But I don't think it has anything to do with who's in charge of the play calling. I mean, they set the game plan, you know, long before the game, and I get it. But I think Arians is on board with Left, which is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know who I got in my ear, and it's a pretty good guy to have in your ear, is Derek Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that show every week with them on the Identity, Tampa 2, every week. Brooks' mantra when it comes to talking about the Buck game plan on offense is run the football. He says it every damn week. He never misses. And you got to remember, guys, he's approaching it through the lens of an all-time linebacker, an all-timer. And what he means is you got to put, you know, a little bit of fear into the front seven that, you know, hey, I'm not sure they're going to throw the ball. You know, a little bit of trepidation, a little hesitation before you pin your ears back. And if you don't have it, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, except for the Rams on Monday night. So I don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
No, the Rams decided we can't run the ball against the Bucks, so we're just going to pick them apart.
Which they
did. Yeah, to back up what Steve said, Lombardi on his podcast, he had picked the Bucks to win. He's a big Todd Bowles fan. He thought surely Todd Bowles was going to come up with some kind of scheme to get pressure on Jared Goff. But he also loves McVay. He thinks McVay may be the best coach out there, you know, outside of Belichick. And he said about McVay, he goes, that guy is so – he's always ahead of somebody else. He said McVay decided, I'm not going to allow Todd Bowles – to have the chance to pressure my quarterback. I'm just going to throw quick, short passes before pressure can get to Goff, and I'm going to force the Bucs corners to tackle. We saw what happened there. They didn't tackle so well.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
So, Ira, what about this Chiefs defense? A lot of people don't know too much about it. Obviously, the Bucs still have a lot of weapons. Obviously, the Bucs are capable of putting up a lot of points. We're talking about wanting the Bucs to run the ball and that the Chiefs don't have the best run defense. What do we need to know about the Chiefs D looking at this game?
The secondary is shaky. Yeah, they got Tyrann Mathieu. Yes, they do. But the corners are very ordinary. The linebacker group, nothing to write home about. Two good defensive linemen in Chris Jones and Frank Clark. But here's the kicker. The pass rush has been lousy. They got 19 sacks, gentlemen. 19. That's averaging two a game. Not very good. Middle of the pack. You know what? I think the thinking in Kansas City is if our defense is in middle of the pack, that's good enough. We got Patrick Mahomes. It's hard to argue against that. I mean, they've lost one game this year. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. But I don't think this defense is playing as well as it did in the second half of last year and the postseason when they really sort of came together under Spagnuolo. It's a very average defense, in my opinion. And if they can handle Frank Clark and Jones on the pass rush, and that's an if, I think Brady's going to have a lot of success in the middle of the field and even down the field. I think it's going to be a big day for Buck receivers.
All right, Sage. Well, that's very encouraging, Ira. Very encouraging. And that almost is a little nugget piece of part of my pick discussion. But you know what? Let's just roll right to the picks because everybody wants to know what the Sage thinks, especially Javier in Panama. He's got his pencil ready. He's keeping track of those picks for us like he always does. We appreciate it so much because it's fun. Now, you and Lee are in the lead, Ira. You and Lee are 8-3 on the season. I am a paltry 7-4. So let me go first, Ira. Let me go first here since I'm bringing up the
please,
rear.
Please do. Please do.
All right. Look, Patrick Mahomes, everybody, if you don't watch Patrick Mahomes, what makes him unique is when he's blitzed, you can come right at him. What's he going to do? He's going to take a step or two back, and he's going to change the angle of how he throws the football, and big deal. So you blitz. You come right at Tom Brady's face. He's done. These pocket passers, I mean, Mahomes has just changed everything, and it's not even a big deal to just come right after him. You know, I wish the Bucs a lot of luck because they've got a lot of holes in that secondary when you look at the speed matchups and all that. But, Sage, I'm gonna be bold here and say that, you know what? I did watch the Chiefs squeak by the Chargers, squeak by the Panthers, squeak by really the other night, even though they just outscored them. The Raiders, they lost to the Raiders earlier. They're just vulnerable on defense. So I have not seen the Buccaneers have a rough day against average defenses. The teams that they've lost to are all defensive powerhouses. So you know what? I'm going with the Bucs. I think Brady's going to bounce back. I think it's going to be a shootout. But you know what? I think the Bucs athletes on defense, they've got some playmakers there who can, you know, JPP is hot, and Shaq Barrett's in a contract year. He's going to be on fire. All these guys, and maybe Bulls will come up with some interesting things. I like the way they finished that second half. I'm going Bucks 34, Chiefs 30.
Lee, why don't you go? Why don't you step up to the podium, Mr. DeKemper?
The Bucs haven't lost two games in a row. Brady usually comes out better after a loss. Usually, I think the Bucs are going to be teased because they know they could have won that game against the Rams. Whether you want to blame it on Brady, blame it on Arians, blame it on Bowles, they could have won that game. I think they come out with a win over the Chiefs. Up until about a day or so ago, I thought it was going to be a wipeout the other way. Now I'm thinking, if the Bucs use common sense and run the ball, I think they win 28-24.
You guys are killing me. Absolutely killing me. Because Derek Brooks thought he had me all set up. He made his pick. Of course, he picked the Bucs. And he said, all right, Sage, what score are you going to pick your Chiefs to trample the Bucs by? And I said, I'm taking the Bucs. So if I took the Bucs with Derek Brooks, I'm taking the Bucks with you two hoodlums. Lee, you made the key point. They haven't lost two in a row. I think that's a compelling factor. You know, that could be by the boards, you know, by Sunday at 8 o'clock at night. But I think it's important that they've been resilient. And I think your point's well taken, Steve, that Brady's going to have some success against an ordinary defense and good opportunity here for Ronald Jones. We might even see a LeSean McCoy sighting, Mike. So, I don't know. I'm going to make it unanimous. Three of us picking an upset against the defending NFL champion Chiefs. Steve, you took my score right away from me, so I can't repeat it.
Sure you can. We can go with the same score.
I'll say 38-31. Home team. We're all picking the Bucks.
I feel compelled to, at least for myself, I feel compelled to at least throw a small disclaimer out here because, and I realize.
You mean if Shipley doesn't play, you're changing your pick?
No.
Is that what you're about to say?
No, nothing like that. I don't want anyone to invest any money based on our picks, or on my picks specifically, because from the gambling perspective, I look at the Bucks coming off Monday Night Football. I look at Arians saying that they were a tired team. They haven't had their bye week yet, and they've got some issues in the secondary, and this is the worst team to be playing when you have some issues back there in coverage. And you've got Carlton Davis, who I don't know if he can hang with Tyreek Hill just on a speed standpoint. So don't bet. But you know what? I stand by my pick.
Can't believe all three of us picked the Bucks, especially me. Especially me.
I thought you were going to pick the Chiefs, Ira. That's one big reason why I picked the Bucks. I want to get some separation there.
I understand.
Lee wants to eat a W. He's ready. He's ready to eat that W for the season.
Steve, Lee mentioned the word ornery, you know, in relation to a Buck player. And guys, I'm going to throw this out at you. Tom Brady, right now, he's ornery. He's ornery. He's out of sorts. And I think it compels the question, is he pissed off at himself, or is he mad that he doesn't have a running back he can trust to catch the ball? Is he mad that the play calls? He's out of sorts. I didn't like him not shaking the guy's hand. I'm not going to make a big deal about it.
Can I scream at you for a second here?
No, I'm not finished yet.
Right.
You
let me know when I get the green light.
I will, and I as a matter of fact, I didn't like his answer to my question Monday night, which is, how disappointed are you in yourself? And he doesn't want to talk about himself. He brings the whole team in and says, yeah, disappointed's a good word, but I'm looking for a little more from him about himself. How about, like, I can't throw a pass like that. That can't happen. I let my team down. Even if you don't believe it, it wouldn't be bad for the other guys to hear you say it. Steve, the floor is yours, my friend.
Ira, in New England, after Tom Brady lost, do you ever hear of a time where he wasn't ornery, where he wasn't pissed off? That's his MO. That's who he is. It's this whole ESPN national narrative games of, well, what is Brady feeling and thinking? I don't give a crap. Just go play well and go win some football games. It's just something to talk about. It's just, to me, it's just stupid. If he was mad at somebody, you'd probably see it and know about it. And he looks like he loves Tom more. I can't imagine he's got a big problem with anybody else. I mean, they are 7-4. He's putting up great numbers that he hasn't put up in a long time. So, I mean, who cares what he thinks, if he's pissed off, who he's pissed off about? Just go out there and play.
Lee, two out of the last 3 weeks, he's played lousy. Two out of the last three, he hasn't gotten the job done.
If somebody set him up, he may have set himself up to fail. Like his long pass, pretty obvious he can't do it anymore or he's in an ugly rut. And I think that cost him the game Monday night. I really do. You know, the Bucks are moving the ball. And when, you know, they had about 2 minutes to go, and, you know, right before Brady threw that incomplete or that interception, they were moving the ball. They were dinking and dunking. They were moving the ball. And then Brady tries to throw a long pass. Now, Arians claims, you know, Brady basically picks his own plays on the sidelines before a series. And then Arians says, well, if he doesn't like a play, we take it out of the playbook. Okay, fine. Well, can somebody be an adult, the adult in the room, say, Tom, don't throw these any longer. You don't have it. I mean, 5-point-something%
yeah.
in his last few weeks long ball. What quarterback would not get benched for that? I mean, if he didn't have 6 rings, he would be benched for that. And I'll go a couple steps further. By the way, this is not me saying this. I'm just reporting what someone else said. A guy who's very close to Brady. He admits he's in love with Brady. He's got a man crush on him. He worked with Brady. Guy by the name of Michael Lombardi. You know, one of Belichick's confidants. He used to work for the Patriots for a while. Lombardi loves Tom Brady. Lombardi said, not me, Michael Lombardi said that Arians had the better quarterback for his system, and his name was Jameis Winston. Michael Lombardi said that on his podcast, said that Arians had his system quarterback. His name was Jameis. And he said, yeah, I know, you know, Jameis' interceptions, I get it. He goes, but what Arians wants to do, that's Jameis.
I thought you're supposed to build your game plan around the talent of your personnel. Wait,
that's what smart coaches do. And I'm not bragging on Arians here, but somebody, I mean, you know, I went through this your last podcast, Ira. Someone obviously sees the same thing that you and I, every other half-sober person saw Monday night, that Brady just doesn't have it anymore when it comes to long ball. Or maybe Brady himself has to have an epiphany. Knock off the long passes. Stick to what you do best. If it's got to be Brian Glazer, it's got to be Brian. Somebody tell Brady quit throwing longer passes. If the defense dictates that you throw long, I still think you have a better chance of throwing short than you do throwing long at 5% chance of completing it. That's crazy.
Understood.
Sage, I got to throw this out here just for the sake of fun, and because it is the other side, and it is probably reality. If Antonio Brown catches that deep ball that went off his fingertips, and Arians on a couple of times after the game has already said that, you know, he's got to catch that, and that's a ball that he catches. If he catches that, you know, 55, 60-yard bomb, he's in the end zone. The Bucs probably win, and no one's talking about this. And I can't just write that off
yeah.
as something that doesn't exist out there. Plus, today I went back and I watched the Buccaneers snaps against Carolina. 2 games ago, Brady's winging the ball all over the place, touch passes, long passes, this and that. And I understand the air yards. The stat that's out there now is the air yards, which is 20 yards in the air past the line of scrimmage. Now, in that game, Brady probably threw 3 balls that were 25 yards, but not past the line of scrimmage. Like maybe he was dropped back 6 yards, threw 25-yard strikes. Gronk had a 44-yard reception after a long catch, and then about 18-yard run, and he's zipping balls around. He threw across the field to Godwin, and nobody would have said after the Carolina game that Brady's having any problems. So I just can't get overblown just because somebody likes to make air yard stats that the guy can't throw. The eye test shows that he was sucked the other night, but I don't know if he's washed up yet. I can't go there.
I didn't say, Lee didn't say he was washed up. I didn't say he was washed up. A couple of points. One, that pass to Antonio Brown, it was an okay pass. It wasn't a good pass. It would have taken an exceptional catch, but Antonio Brown's an exceptional player. And it's probably not too much to ask him to catch that ball. But that was not a gorgeous drop it in the basket pass. Two, Lee, this is troubling to me. It's troubling. They didn't have a 20-yard gain Monday night, either in the run game, 67 snaps. I don't care if you run it or pass it. 18 yards is all you got. Jared Goff had 8 of them. 8 that were 18 yards or more. Brady had 1. And Goff had plenty that were 20 yards or more. Brady had none. You know, you can nickel and dime a team to death. I understand that. And Brady was masterful. At doing that the last couple of years in New England. He didn't have many weapons, and he had to do that. But Arians is in some quarters, getting pilloried for being, quote, too tough on Brady in his public comments. I can't go there. I don't know how you guys feel. Brady's a big boy. He's making the big money. He's had all the accolades somebody can get in his profession. And if he's all bent out of shape because Arians suggest that he didn't have a good game on Monday night or a good game against New Orleans, maybe he's not the right guy for Bruce Arians. Lee, I'm an Arians corner on this one.
As far as that goes, absolutely. If you're a professional, you've been in the league 20 years, if you can't handle your coach saying you were off, then just retire. Retire. You got enough money. You got a Hollywood production company. Your wife's got more money than know what to do with between both you guys. If you can't handle that, retire. You know that, and it's not like he's saying, "Oh, he's horrible," or anything. Just that he had a bad game or he had a bad pass. I mean, come on. I don't think anybody in the NFL is that sensitive. And you're right. You know, Aaron's getting killed for that. Now, Steve Young claims Sam Farmer interviewed him for a column earlier this week. Steve Young claims he knows people, plural. Brady's in a circle. They've told Steve Young that. Brady told Aaron, "I want you to call me out. I want to be part of the team. I don't want to be thought of as above everybody." I don't know if that's true or not. That's what Steve Young claims.
Real quickly, before I forget it, Lee, on Sunday, Brady was on NFL Network, their pregame show, Ira, and I wrote this up. He was smiling, answering questions from Willie McGinnis, and he was very clear. He's like, "It really motivates me that Arians calls me out. It's refreshing. I like it. And, you know, your coach calls you out, makes you want to play better. I like it." I mean, I can't imagine, like Lee said, that anybody's that sensitive. It's not like Arians is making up stuff.
Lee, it's a little continuation of Arians maybe in the last week or two of the 2019 season when he took the gloves off Jameis Winston. You know, he had the gloves on all season. Alibiing this, alibiing that, too many drops, protection wasn't good, this, that, and he couldn't stomach, you know, the closing performances against Houston and Atlanta, and he said so, and we know the ultimate result is Jameis has moved on. You know, I think this is an Arians wheelhouse league to do this. I think he did it with Carson Palmer in the desert. I think it comes very naturally for Arians.
Oh, yeah, I think that's just him. He's an open book with everybody. I really believe that. And I think players appreciate it if you're consistent, as long as you don't have any favorites. I think when you start playing favorites, like you may have some pet, he could be screwing up and fumbling or whatever, and you don't say anything ill towards him, that's when you start getting into trouble. Excuse me, Dan Graziano of ESPN floated this rumor. He admitted that it's hearsay. He claims there's tension between Arians and Brady. And part of that is Arians is like, "Look, Tom, we got you everything you wanted. You wanted Gronkowski, we got you. We got him. You wanted Shady McCoy, we got him. You wanted Fournette, we got him. You wanted Antonio Brown, we got him. We got everybody you want. What's the problem?" Well, when Graziano said that, the first thing that came to my mind is, whoa, 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 whoa. Wasn't Arians heavy panting in public for Brady all these months? I would say, "Bruce, you got what you wanted. Where's the result?"
You know, Steve, it's not a black and white thing, Steve. It's murky, and you made the point. They're 7-4. Brady's had a lot of good games, some great games. He was great against the Raiders. He was great in that second matchup against the Panthers. Fantastic. A lot of zip on the ball. So, Steve, I grant you that point, but, Steve, you got to grant me mine. In the four losses, I think he's got – 3 touchdown passes and 5 picks. 3 touchdown passes, Steve, in those 4 games. And they only averaged 17 points. 4 games, Steve, out of 11. You know, you might argue you can live with that ratio. But this is Tom Brady. I doubt that there were many years in Foxborough when he had 4 bad games, Steve, in a season. So he is 43. But like Lee said, Arians knew what he was signing up for. When he wanted that man behind door number 2, see, 4 bad games in 11 weeks. I don't know. That's okay, but it ain't great.
It's fair to say 4 out of 11 is not good enough for the Bucs to reach the goals they wanted to. But I'll submit again, Ira. He is on pace to throw 13 interceptions, which is something we all would have applauded before the season started. Plus, he threw 10, 12, 13. He had seasons of 14 picks in New England. So those were bad games, Ira. They didn't all come in 2 games, if you know what I'm saying. So the jury's still out, and that's what makes this, like you said, many layers to it. It's an unknown. You mentioned the phrase earlier, Ira, gorgeous drop in the bucket basket, drop in the bucket catch. He threw one of those to Scotty Miller earlier in the year, like a 50-yarder that was one of the best throws any quarterback has made all season in the corner of the end zone. And I think through six games.
Yeah, it could have been the Raiders game.
I think it was through maybe seven games. Scotty Miller was averaging 20 yards a catch, and Brady was extraordinary with the deep ball. So, I mean, we'll see if this is Father Time, you know, catching up to his arm a little bit, and maybe he gets refreshed after the bye week. Maybe that's what Arians meant when he said really tired team. We don't know. But
happy holidays to all our listeners, Steve.
Absolutely. Sure, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Ira, rapid fire two things, then we're out of here. Okay, Sage?
Go ahead.
All right. Here comes the rapid fire. Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians said two things the other night that were interesting. He said they missed 14 tackles, which is extraordinary. And he also said twice, Ira, that the inside pass rush is just lacking. Yeah, your quick rapid thoughts on those two things.
14 tackles is enormous. Ginormous. I mean, I can't believe that number. That's a travesty. That can't happen. They were all equal opportunity offenders. I mean, it wasn't just one guy missing 10 tackles. That is horrendous. If that happens on Sunday, they'll lose by 30. The inside pass rush has been lacking. There's no question about it. Lee, this is the time that we realize how integral Vita Vea is around here. Sometimes we don't notice the guy, but Lee, even when he's not sacking people, he's getting penetration and he's tying up blockers. And, you know, that was a tough loss, Lee, and it's showing up.
Ira, we have all picked the Buccaneers. Maybe we're all crazy. Super Bowl champs, the Chiefs are 9-1. Give us one last reason of hope here as Bucs fans stuff their faces and get into this holiday weekend.
All three of us know that Andy Reid listens avidly to this podcast. And when he hears us all pick the Bucs, he's going to put a tape of this podcast in everybody's locker. That's going to be extra motivation for the Chiefs. But, guys, it's not going to be good enough because the Bucs will end the third quarter of the season at 8-4, and their playoff chances will go up to about 95%. That sounds mighty good, 95%.